Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Praise God, we are indeed here on this day of the birth of Jesus Christ. In the last few days, we've all been on the priests, especially on the Mass Marathon. And so yesterday, I had three Masses in the morning. I went back to the rectory and had a nice, good leftover Lumalnati's lunch. And then I took a ninja nap. Went and did the 4 p.m. Mass here in the gym, went to my family's, and then on the way back here for the midnight Mass, I had a double shot espresso of Starbucks to get me through it. Got to bed around 2:30, and here we are. Praise God. So let's get this party started. So we'll give that applause for Jesus entering the world. And so praise God that indeed we do get to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And who doesn't love Christmas? Christmas is the best. Everyone is so joyful during the Christmas season. And especially it's great to see the kids walking in all excited. What did you get? What was your presents? And I remember growing up my entire life, I'm the youngest of four. I have a brother 4 years older than me. Another brother 10 years older, and then a sister 12 years older. And so every Christmas morning, my brother Mario and I, who's closest to my age, we would wake up when it was still dark, it was like 4:30 or 5, and we would run into our parents' room at 5 in the morning. We would shake them as much as possible and say, "We have to go downstairs. We have to see if there's presents under the tree. Get up, Mom and Dad." And then my dad would say, "What time is it?" And I could not read time. And so I would look at the clock and I would say, "It says 5:00. You get great. When it says 5:30, you can wake us up again and we'll go downstairs." And so my brother Mario and I would then go to the other side of the room and we would kneel down in front of the clock. We would just stare at it for 30 long minutes. Just laser eyes. And then eventually it would click from 5:29 to 5:30, and we'd run back over to our parents and we'd shake them and we would say, "The clock says 5:30. Wake up." And so they would get out of bed and we would go down the stairs, and the youngest would be at the bottom step, the next oldest at the next step, the next oldest, and then my oldest sibling and my sister. And then on my mom and dad's command, they would say, "Go." And then we would run down the stairs, see all the presents, and just be amazed, right? That first moment you see all these gifts under the tree, you're like, "What is going on?" And then we would frantically organize the gifts over where Dad sat there, Mom sat there, you know, my sibling sat over there in this place and that place, and we would put them in their proper places, and then we would just go insane opening presents. And we all know when that child gets that gift they were hoping for, they're like hugging it because they're just so happy to have it. And so we would do that. We would frantically wake up, stare at the clock, run downstairs, open the presents, and then after we opened all the presents, we would then go to Christmas Mass. And even that, I recognize, was something unique, because at Christmas Mass, the church was always, you know, full of people. And there was always this extra kind of idea that there's more decorations and there's more going on and we're praising God even more. And so I knew even as a young boy that this is somehow different, because people were there and we don't go to things that aren't incredible. No, we line up and pack a house for things that are incredible, things that are life-changing. And even yesterday, we had 3-4 p.m. Masses at once, and they were all packed, standing room only in every single one. The midnight Mass is packed. So even as a young boy, I knew this was something different, something unique. And so, of course, as a boy, as a young son, or as a young daughter, we all love the presents, the gifts. But of course, what is the greatest gift on Christmas? And we know the obvious answer is Jesus Christ being born into the world. But why is this so important? Why is this the greatest gift that we could ever encounter? Well, when I was praying over this, what came to my mind was actually an event that happened a couple of years ago before I was a priest. I was still a deacon. And I was over at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I was incognito, so I wasn't in my priest clothes. And I was with a couple of friends of mine, and the waiter came over to the table, and we'll call him Mike. And Mike said, "How you guys doing? Welcome to Buffalo Wild Wings." And I said, "We're doing great." I said, "Man, I'm living the dream." I said, "Things are great. I'm living the dream right now. I'm here. I'm alive. God is so good." He said, "Man, not me. I'm not living the dream." I said, "You're not?" He goes, "No, I'm working at Buffalo Wild Wings. I want to go home. I'm not living the dream." I said, "Okay." Mike walked away, came back over a few minutes later. I said, "Hey, Mike, what's living the dream? What would be the dream for you? Like the ideal, what would be the greatest thing you could ask for? What would be living the dream where you just be so excited for life?" He thought for a second. He thought and thought. And he said, "You know, I guess living the dream would be to be happy. That'd be living the dream. I could just be happy." And I said, "Okay, well, when were you last happy? And I'll pray for that to come back." And so when was the last time you were really legitimately happy and living that dream? Tell me what that is, and I will pray for you, and God willing, that will come back, and you can live the dream and be happy. And so again, he thought longer, and much longer this time. He looked at me, not very happy, and he said, "You know, I can't remember. I actually can't remember the last time I was happy." And I looked at him and I said, "Mike, that's really sad. That's sad that you can't remember the last time you were actually happy. That it was that long ago." He said, yeah, it is. I said, "You know what? I know that feeling of just being unhappy and wanting joy and wondering why we're here and what the point of life is and why do I wake up in the morning? Why do I exist?" And I said, "I know that place of just wondering and just kind of being upset and depressed at times." I said, "You know, this radical thing happened to me where like I discovered why I was created and I'm going to be a priest and I'm very excited for that and I truly feel like I'm living the dream because God is just doing so much for me and it's an incredible thing." And I said, "You know, is it okay if I just get your email and maybe I could send you some videos that I watched during this conversion of mine? Because when I was kind of searching, I was filling this empty place of my heart, this place of depression and sadness and loneliness with many things that were not making me happy. And I would just repeat the same sins, trying to fill this like void, but I was never truly satisfied, never actually joyful. Fleeting moments of happiness, but never joyful. I said, can I just send you some stuff? That'd be okay?" He said, "Yeah, that'd be fine." So he went and he got a little piece of paper, gave me his email, his Facebook. And when he came back again, I said, "You know, would it be okay if, would you mind if sometime we just got together and maybe got Starbucks or something and we can just sit down and talk about your life, or maybe what you're going through? And maybe we could help you find the dream. Maybe we could help you find happiness, some joy. Would that be okay?" And he looked at me, and the first time for about 45 minutes to an hour of this talking to him, him leaving, getting food, coming back, continuing the conversation, for the first time he legitimately smiled. He said, "Yeah, that would be really good. I want to be joyful. I want to be happy. I want to live the dream. Please." And so he smiled and shook my hand, and Mike and I met about a month and a half later at Starbucks, and we sat there for about 2.5 hours just talking. And most of it was just me listening to him about his suffering. He lost a mother at the age of 14. He felt very rejected by other people, by his family, by his friends. He was never really accepted. He was made fun of a lot. Just kind of felt awkward in his own body. And I just listened. At the end of the conversation, he just named over and over and over again all these deep, deep sufferings he had. And I said, Mike, maybe just one thing to start thinking about is there a point to suffering? Can suffering ever bring about good? Can it ever be redeemed or made into something beautiful? I said, because you got a lot of suffering in your life, and that suffering might not be going away. Your mom is still deceased. You still have a lot of crosses. Things are still really heavy. And maybe just ask that question, if suffering can ever bring something good. And see, that's the question for each one of us, because the reality is when one cross goes away, another one pops up. And we have deep, deep sufferings. And the reality is that each one of us here sitting today has a cross that's so heavy that even our spouse does not know about. The person sitting next to us, our sibling or our parents, do not know about. There is a cross that you are bearing that you probably have not shared with any single person. And it is heavy. And you are dying to have that cross lifted. And so the God of the universe couldn't simply sit back on his throne and watch each one of us suffer and go, oh, you'll figure it out. No, he had to leave his throne, descend from heaven, come to earth, be born as a child, to enter into our lives, to pick up the cross with us, to suffer with us, to die and resurrect it and make it something beautiful, recognizing that that suffering by itself does not end there. Rather, it redeemed the entire world. It saved us from sin and death so that one day we do enter paradise and we will be resurrected and all of our sufferings will be redeemed and we will live for all of eternity in the most joyful graces of God. And this reality doesn't even have to wait simply until heaven. We can experience that now on earth. And this is why God entered the world. And what a gift this is. And we don't have to wait. Because the most incredible gift we have today is this mess. Christmas. This root word comes from Christian mass. Christ Mass, Christmas. And what happens is God 2,000 years ago became flesh. And in just a moment, God will actually be present on this altar. Bread and wine will truly become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Christ said, this is my body. This doesn't represent my body. And this is very difficult for us to recognize. But let's just finish up here on what is actually happening. Because when we come up to communion in just a moment, it can be difficult to believe that God is actually on this altar. Because it's still going to taste like bread, still going to smell like bread, still going to smell like wine in that chalice. But what do we recognize? The moment that God was born into the world, many people doubted that Jesus was God because they said, God is strong, God is powerful, that's a baby, that's weakness. The child can't even survive on its own. It's not God. And then even when he walked on the earth, they said, that's not God, that's a man. I've seen a man before. Man has long hair and fingers and nails and toes and skin. That's not God, that's a man. I've seen a man before. But we recognize hidden in what that appearance was actually the God of the universe walking. And then we recognize that God says, this is my body. And so we can look at God and say, oh, it looks like a man. We can look at the bread and say, it looks like bread. But one of two things is true. Either A, God meant it. And in just a moment, this bread and wine literally becomes his body. Or it doesn't. Some sort of metaphor, a symbol. So either A, God, or B, bread. And if it's just bread, then by definition, this is something very bad. In fact, we are committing the most gravest sin, breaking the first commandment, and in about just a few moments, I'm going to put on some show, some performance, and then we are all going to worship bread. That is idolatry. And not just bad, but it's evil. And it's bad for us if we worship bread. So either the craziest thing in the world, and if it's bread, no one should be here. That's bad. It's evil. Or it's the greatest gift that's ever existed, that the actual God of the universe is going to enter your body. One of two extremes. And the question is, are we going to trust God as his word that this is my body. Because in just a moment we walk forward, and every cross you have, every suffering you encounter, is going to be redeemed by this moment, and this moment alone. And so ask the Lord, tell Him where you hurt most, where you do not have joy, where you need Him to show up. Like a child, tell Him what you need. And then when you receive that Eucharist, be like the little kid who recognizes, this is something good, and cling to it. Because no one else can save you. Your wife, your husband, your children, your spouse, your siblings. Only He can save you from all your brokenness. And so like the child with the gift, cling to it. Because this is the greatest gift. If there's anything better out there in this entire universe, somebody tell me after Mass, because I haven't discovered it yet. This is the greatest gift. So let us rejoice and run to Him.